Welcome to Words of Hope. Have you ever thought that God could feel frustrated? Today, David Bast continues his series on Jesus' public ministry. With God, it doesn't take a lot of faith to do great things for God. But our unbelief makes him impatient. Words of Hope's message today, A Little Faith, is based on Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20. Here's David.
Jesus, together with his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, has just been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was a shining moment, literally. Jesus' entire appearance was transformed, and he radiated dazzling light as the inner reality of his divine nature was momentarily revealed to the awestruck disciples. A mountaintop experience, as we say. But such things don't last. Peter's suggestion that he erect tabernacles there on the mountaintop was an attempt to prolong the moment. Why go back down into the world's squalor, Peter must have been thinking. Why not just stay up here? Why not just stay up here on the mountaintop and let the world come to us? Maybe we could even charge admission to those who wanted to peek inside the tent and admire Jesus' glory. But Peter's foolish thinking is cut short by the voice of God himself, who bears witness to his beloved son Jesus and commands the disciples to listen to him. And just that quickly, the moment passes, the glory fades, Jesus reverts to his ordinary appearance, and the air on the mountaintop is no longer charged with grandeur. Jesus leads his disciples down from the mountain into the lowlands of everyday existence, where most of our lives are spent, where, in fact, Jesus is heading toward his own personal agony at the cross. And then, as if to underscore the fact that suffering comes before glory, as soon as Jesus and his disciples return to earth, they are confronted once again with the inescapable misery of the world. And as they were coming down the mountain, Matthew writes, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? He said to them, Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So no sooner have Jesus, Peter, James, and John returned to civilization than a man rushes up, falls on his knees, and implores Jesus to help his son, who suffers from terrible, life-threatening convulsions. Apparently, this father had already tried to get help from the other disciples who were waiting below while Jesus and his inner circle had been on the mountain. But they were powerless in the face of the boy's disorder. So the desperate father comes with a familiar cry, Lord, have mercy. Jesus' reaction is really quite strange. He sounds upset, impatient, out of sorts. O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? In one sense, that's a very human reaction, isn't it? Jesus is fed up with his whole crooked, unbelieving society. How long do I have to put up with you? He asks. But what exactly set him off? There was the suffering itself. Jesus consistently displayed anger and even hatred whenever he confronted evil and its consequences. But here he seems especially irritated by the ineffectiveness of his disciples. Back in chapter 10, Jesus had commissioned them and given them authority to act in His name, to heal, and even to cast out demons. So it's understandable that he's irate at their pathetic performance. After all, he's only human. Well, actually, not only human. Jesus' reaction here is not merely the venting of a frustrated leader. It's also a window into the heart of God. God is frustrated by our perversity. God is upset at our persistent unbelief, our prayerlessness, our inactivity in the face of human need, our powerlessness to overcome the world's evil. This whole incident is not so much a story about divine healing as it is a teaching moment for Jesus' followers. The emphasis isn't simply on the misery of the suffering boy or even the anger of Jesus, but on the inability of the disciples to help. That's where the focus squarely lies. "I brought him to your disciples," the man explains, "and they could not heal him." "Why could we not?" the disciples later ask Jesus privately. In both places, the key words are "could not." Literally, what Matthew says is they were unable or lacking power. So something is missing from the disciples' spiritual arsenal, leaving them ineffective when confronted by evil and suffering. So Jesus turns this question about his disciples' inability into a teachable moment. He diagnoses their problem in an instant. "It's because of your little faith," he tells them. Their faith was too small. Think about what this whole thing implies. What must have happened while Jesus was away on the mountain? The disciples must have tried to help the demon-possessed boy, or their failure would not have been obvious. So what did they do? Did they command the spirit to leave the child? Did they rebuke the demon, as Jesus seems to have done? Well, whatever it was they said or did, nothing happened. The boy remained unchanged. It was immediately and embarrassingly apparent that the disciples didn't know what they were doing. And according to Jesus' statement, the reason for the disciples' failure was that they were acting without faith. They tried to do it on their own, in other words, without committing themselves with wholehearted trust to God in prayer. In all honesty, don't we try to do that as well? I know I'm like that. I have trouble really believing, not so much in God's theoretical power to deliver, but in His willingness to do so through me or my efforts. So I pray half-heartedly, without much faith. Someone has said, "The world is full of half-believing unbelievers and half-unbelieving believers." You know what? That's me to a T, a half-unbelieving believer. It's so much easier and safer just to act in my own strength, to rely on my own understanding, to trust in my own expertise or experience. And then if these things aren't enough to solve some problem or meet some need, to just give up and walk away. It's so much harder and more risky to cast myself entirely upon God in faith, believing that He can and will do wonders. Well, Jesus not only diagnoses His disciples' problem, He offers a solution. "Truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed," mustard seed faith, He says, that's all it takes, just the tiniest bit of faith, and you will work wonders. But wait a minute. Jesus has just said that our problem literally is little faith. Now He says the solution to the problem is to have a little faith. So what's the difference? I think